AFP Audio is today talking to Dr. Catherine Lucas. Hi, Catherine.
Hello.
Catherine is the lead author and a clinical pharmacology registrar at Royal Brisbane and Women's Hospital, and has authored with Dr. Peter Donovan, a clinical pharmacologist at the same hospital, an article in the January-February 2013 edition of Australian Family Physician titled Just a Repeat, When Drug Monitoring is Indicated. So prescribing is such an everyday action for most clinicians, and certainly in a general practice consulting rooms, the words it's just for a repeat are often said, though may not so often actually be the case. However, sometimes prescribing a drug is more than just a review of the indication, efficacy, side effects, and how the patient is going remembering to take it. Sometimes it is for a drug that also needs therapeutic drug monitoring. Catherine, what is the general role of therapeutic drug monitoring?
The general role of therapeutic drug monitoring is to optimise patient outcomes, and this is via individualising their dosing regimens after measurement of a drug concentration. This is particularly for drugs for which there is no accurate measure of effect, and it also needs to be considered that established therapeutic ranges are only available for a limited number of medications.
Yep, and so this article has focused on drugs that may be commonly prescribed by GPs as opposed to, say, gentamicin, which is more commonly a hospital-prescribed drug, and focused on drugs prescribed by GPs requiring monitoring. So what are some of the more common indications for therapeutic drug monitoring?
Common indications where we employ therapeutic drug monitoring may include after initiating treatment, if treatment is failing, after starting or stopping a potentially interacting drug, and also if there's a change in patient's physiology, such as new onset of renal or hepatic impairment.
Yep. And so they're the sort of common indications. What are the criteria that a drug should satisfy to be suitable for therapeutic drug monitoring?
There are a number of criteria that a drug should satisfy to be suitable for therapeutic drug monitoring, and these criteria include pharmacokinetic variability, that's both inter- or intra-individual variability, having a narrow therapeutic index, there should be an evidence-based therapeutic range for the drug, and also a defined concentration effect relationship, and we need to consider the serious consequences if there is therapeutic failure, for example, the patient experiencing seizures.
Yep. And so if you're thinking about re-prescribing a drug, you've decided to order a monitoring, what should we as GPs be telling the patient about when to attend the pathology centre for testing?
Well, that does depend on the medication. For drugs with long half-lives, such as digoxin or phenytoin, already at steady state, that is after at least five half-lives, any point in the dose interval may be used, so patients may attend the pathology centre at their convenience. However, for drugs such as carbamazepine, lamotrigine, lithium and sodium valproate, where pre-dose trough concentrations are used, patients should be advised to attend the pathology centre for testing just prior to when they would normally take their dose.
Yep, and so they've gone to the pathology centre at the designated time, and we then get the results back. What information is needed to facilitate the correct interpretation of the result?
So information required includes, as we've alluded to, the accurate time of blood collection, also the patient's dosage regimen, so that's including their dose, the dose form, the time of administration and the duration of therapy, patient's characteristics, so their age, gender, any concomitant disease that may be influencing interpretation, and also their ethnicity, the indication for monitoring, and also the therapeutic range and pharmacokinetics of the drug.
Yep. And so, as you mentioned a few of the things, and there's many potential mechanisms of interactions, and the details of the more common mechanisms and drugs are provided in the article. Probably, as you've alluded to earlier, the drugs GPs are most likely to be ordering therapeutic monitoring for are anti-epileptics, lithium and digoxin. Perhaps starting with the anti-epileptic drugs, what ones may monitoring be indicated and which ones perhaps not at this stage?
The anti-epileptic drugs for which monitoring may be indicated include phenytoin, carbamazepine and sodium valproate, whereas therapeutic drug monitoring isn't recommended for gabapentin, topiramate, tiagabine, levetiracetam or vigabatrin.
Yep. And some of those drugs are used for other indications such as mood disorders or migraine prophylaxis. If we're using them for those sort of indications, is therapeutic drug monitoring still recommended?
Unfortunately, there's very little evidence regarding the application of therapeutic ranges that are used for epilepsy when anti-epileptic drugs are used for indications outside of that.
Okay, so on those ones, we're probably more following the clinical indications or clinical response. Yeah. And so if we are with the anti-epileptic drugs, when should we be checking levels?
When a patient has good seizure control, you can measure plasma concentration at steady state to use as a reference for future therapeutic decisions, and otherwise plasma concentration should be rechecked after a significant dose change or once a new steady state is reached after that dose change.
Yep, and I'll refer listeners to Table 1 in the article, which has quite a lot of detail about those drugs that it might be indicated for, the ranges, the half-life and other information. So moving away from that, we might then talk about lithium. What are some of the key considerations when monitoring lithium?
Well, we need to remember that lithium has a narrow therapeutic index, and even at therapeutic concentrations, patients can experience problems such as tremor, muscular weakness or extrapyramidal symptoms. And because of this narrow therapeutic index, serum lithium concentration should be measured at least every 3 to 6 months after achieving a stable concentration. Lithium toxicity usually occurs at concentrations greater than 2 millimoles per litre, but it may develop at a considerably lower concentration, and that the elderly are particularly prone to that. And patients should be warned to report symptoms that might indicate their lithium dose requires reduction. And these can include unsteadiness, confusion, nausea, diarrhea or worsening tremor. And we also need to exercise caution in patients with renal impairment or congestive heart failure. And consider that lithium toxicity may be potentiated by intercurrent illness and associated hypovolemia or the use of medications which may reduce the renal clearance of lithium. And these include diuretics, non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, angiotensin II receptor blockers and also ACE inhibitors.
Yep. And I suppose actually thinking through it as a GP, often patients don't come in with quite those clear things like nausea or the like, but even a patient on lithium who just comes in because they're not feeling right, it's probably worth considering that as in your differentials anyway.
Yes, if you don't have another rationale for the symptoms.
Yes, and so moving then on to digoxin, and what are the sort of key things to think about when monitoring digoxin?
Like lithium, digoxin has a narrow therapeutic range and toxicity may occur within the therapeutic range. The risk of digoxin toxicity is potentiated in elderly patients and also in those with renal impairment, electrolyte disturbances, and those taking P-glycoprotein inhibitors that we've mentioned in Table 1. And commonly these include macrolide antibiotics, azole antifungals, verapamil and carvedilol. And lower target concentrations should be considered in patients with heart failure, and particularly with digoxin, clinical monitoring of parameters such as heart rate and may be more helpful than therapeutic drug monitoring, as digoxin assays are poorly reproducible and the variation in digoxin monitoring makes drug concentrations very difficult to interpret.
Okay. So in that case, the therapeutic drug monitoring is just part of the story. The clinical is the other very significant part.
Yes.
Yeah. And so finally, what are some key points that you feel GPs should consider when considering therapeutic drug monitoring?
For the majority of medications, therapeutic drug monitoring is unlikely to assist management and shouldn't be performed. But in selected cases, it may assist general practitioners to individualise and optimise the patient's dosing regimen and the therapeutic outcomes. So therapeutic drug monitoring is indicated when medications have special characteristics, for example, a narrow therapeutic index, where there is an established therapeutic range, and where the consequences of undertreatment can't be recognised clinically and can be serious, such as seizure, and also need to consider monitoring if toxicity is suspected. So ultimately, for some drugs, clinical monitoring may be more helpful than therapeutic drug monitoring, as we alluded to with digoxin earlier, and in all cases, it's imperative that drug concentrations are interpreted in the patient's clinical context.
Yep. So thank you very much for speaking to us today, Catherine, and I'll remind listeners that the full article can be found in the January-February 2013 edition of Australian Family Physician.
Thank you. Carolyn.